Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR on this Wednesday, June the 21st, 2023. Joining me in studios, Ed Battagliano. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim. Is this not the first day of summer?
I don't
technically
know. Is it? Technically. You mean
technically.
The calendar.
Yes, on the calendar.
I don't know. Look it up.
I'm gonna look that up.
Good morning, Chris Woodward.
Good morning.
Well, Chris, do you know the answer to that question?
Today is the summer solstice. However, the meteorological summer began a few weeks ago. Meteorologists go by a different calendar than us laymen.
What's up with that? I'm just looking. Today is the official first day of summer.
I tell you how most Americans break that down.
Yeah. I know what you're going to say.
June, July, and August is summer.
Yeah.
That's right. Huh?
September, October, November is fall.
Mm-hmm. And when it starts getting hot, it's summer.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. At least where we live.
Here in Mississippi, fall is our greatest 2 weeks of weather, somewhere between Christmas and Valentine's Day.
Actually, where we live, it's hotter in September than May. Mm-hmm. September can be.
When you go to a Friday night football game here,
you're sweating like a
You
horse.
Lose weight at a football game here in Mississippi.
I've always said, as far as high school and even college athletics goes, for football and baseball, they start football during baseball weather, and they start baseball during football weather. It's a paradox.
It is. It's paradoxical.
It needs to be a part of the presidential campaign, honestly. Somebody needs to deal with that issue.
First debate question.
Yes.
We'll get to all the issues here.
Come on, politician. Make another promise you're not going to keep.
I would like for them to increase the speed limit on the Natchez Trace, though. That's if I had a bucket list. Bring it up to 55, man.
That's not going to happen because that is a cash cow.
You're talking about the Natchez Trace Parkway, which is a federal parkway that runs through our area. Mm-hmm. And the speed limit's 50 miles an hour.
Crime against humanity.
Which you obey.
Yes,
on a regular basis. You obey if you get pulled over once, and they hit you with a $500 fine or whatever it is.
Yeah, and they are not.
Federal parkways.
Oh, yeah, 7-8 miles over, that's fine. No, they're not that way.
Federal parkways are, you don't want to get a ticket on a federal parkway.
Although I do want to say, for all you park rangers who might be listening.
We love you. Very much.
Yes.
All right. Today, when is the longest day of the year, by the way? Isn't it coming up?
That's like, today. That's the day, first. That's the day of summer.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Today's the longest
summer
day
solstice.
Of the year? Okay.
Correct.
As far as the sun being up.
Yes, and for the day being longer when you have the most sunshine. So basically from here on out, it's all downhill, Tim.
And now we flip.
Yeah.
We go down to where it gets dark. At 5 o'clock.
Oh, I hate that time of year.
The most depressing time of year.
November. I mean, the end of November. All right. Anything we need to, Ed, do you want to comment on how folks can watch the show?
Yeah, listen. Tim and I both are going bright. Okay. Chris is, that's regular. That's a regular striped shirt. Tim and I went for the bright, blinding shirts. And if you want to see that, you can. You can go.
And who wouldn't want to?
And who wouldn't want to? You can go to Facebook and search for Today's Issues and click through, and you can watch us do you can watch the live video stream for this show, or go to our own streaming platform, streaming.afa.net, streaming.afa.net, and you can watch us from.
Ed's donning an Eddie Bauer.
Yes.
And Christopher's got a polo shirt.
Little man on a horse.
Little man on a horse, which is a status symbol, actually, Chris. I don't know.
This was a hand-me-up from a cousin that had a growth spurt, and he outgrew this, so he gave me shirts. Thanks, Aunt Sheila.
Polo used to be quite the status
is
symbol.
That right?
I'm just going to remark that I use Polo cologne.
I'm rocking a Magellan from Academy Sports.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
That's peachy keen. Is
you got Ray the would... Columbia, and then if you don't want to pay Columbia prices, you go Magellan.
Go Magellan.
I have
Magellan.
One.
All right. All right. On a more serious note, the folks out there in the what do you call submersible?
Submersible.
The five Americans, the right?
North Atlantic.
The Americans. They. Well, what's the situation, Chris?
Well, Fox just ran a little blurb on this a moment ago. They're scheduled to run out of oxygen tomorrow. So time is of the essence to locate this submersible and help get it to surface so we can rescue these individuals. There is hope.
These are the guys, I think it's all men, who were on this submersible, which is a mini submarine. I mean, really mini.
Yeah.
Like, and they went down to view the Titanic, right?
Right.
That was their purpose. And then what happened was they broke the connection, the communication connection between them and the mothership was lost. And that's been a couple of days ago now.
Yeah, it's been
a few days. So now the rush is to try to find where this submersible is. And then I don't know what I guess they have a way to get them back to the surface if they can find them in time.
Yes, there. I mean, various countries are assisting here. The U.S. Navy is participating. Canada, Canadian aircraft actually detected what they've described as underwater noises from the search area.
This was about 12 or 15 hours ago.
France is involved. So there is hope. And people that know the folks inside the submersible are optimistic that they will find their friends and family members. I say that because I have some audio somewhere here in my pile of stories. I've got some audio here from a lady by the name of Janik Melkelson, Mickelson, rather. She's a friend of one of the missing submersible passengers, and she talked about all this on Fox and Friends today, clip 10.
It gives me hope. It means it's life. If it is every 30 minutes, that means they're alive. But now all these what-if questions come into play. What if they're alive? What if they can't get rescued? What if they run out of oxygen? Is it them? Is it not them? It's terrifying.
I also was reading where, you know, these guys are 12,500 feet below sea level. Think about that. What's a mile?
5,280 feet.
Okay, so over 2 miles to the... And they they say that they you're sending these I don't know what you call them observer cameras so forth down to the bottom that they can only see with a light like it's so dark they can only see like 20 feet ahead of them. So it's I don't know if it's exactly like looking for a pin in a haystack, but it's daunting. The challenge that they have to find these guys in time. And then you have to execute the rescue, which I don't know how that happens. Anyway, it's a dire situation. And these people were really on a, what would you call it?
Adventure.
Adventure. And they knew the dangers because they warned them ahead of time. I can't imagine, you know, I don't have claustrophobia. I know I've known a couple of people in my life who have. They won't even get on an elevator.
Oh, I see.
And they won't get on an elevator. This person and they wouldn't.
So it's a real clinical diagnosis.
Yes, and they would, and even on an airplane, they didn't like being in a tube.
Yeah,
it's. I mean, those who don't have it, you could make jokes about it, but for those people, it's a serious matter. And so I just can't imagine. I don't have claustrophobia, is what I'm saying, but I can't imagine being on something so small, going down so deep in the ocean just to. Just the idea is terrifying to me.
Yeah, I'm sure I'm not clinically
claustrophobic,
but I'm like you're saying. I don't like being in small, tightly confined. I don't like being on a plane either. In terms of
You're 2 feet from me, and I see you look over here every once in a while, going, "Am I too close?"
Nobody really likes being constricted. So when I'm talking about, like flying.
Right.
I'm talking about being crammed in. You can't stretch your legs out and all that
stuff. Right.
After hours of being in that situation, these folks, no, that would be. And one of them, one of the men on there is a Pakistani businessman, Shahzada Dawood. His son is there with him. You just start thinking, maybe I die and that's, I took that risk, but I wouldn't want to be there when my son died.
It's also, to me, kind of like, have we not already seen the Titanic 1,000 times on TV with cameras that have gone down to the bottom?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? What's the mystery? But anyway, I guess some people have an extraordinary sense of adventure and are willing to risk their lives to experience it. But
I'm on the opposite end of that spectrum.
You're Captain Safety.
My kids call me Captain Safety.
That's what you told me. Your kids call you Captain Safety.
That's right.
I went to a Titanic exhibit years ago back in the 90s at what was then called the Memphis Pyramid. It's now a Bass Pro Shop, of all places. but it had a Titanic exhibit there years ago. This was a little bit before the DiCaprio film came out or whatever. Whether you've seen it on camera, as you've mentioned here with documentaries and whatnot, some people have seen actual like relics, if that's the term to use here, that they've been able to save. So many people are familiar with the Titanic having never actually gone down to the great depths.
One of my granddads, they both passed away. Both my grandfathers passed away a few years back, but he was a Captain Safety extraordinaire. Right. I mean, we would go, he had a lot where we would go camping and fishing.
Yeah.
And he'd be out there and he'd like make us wear life jackets on the ground, on the shore.
Mm. Oh, really?
Well, he didn't want to lose sight of us. And
yeah. Have you, how old were you?
Probably 10, but I was going like, really?
On the shore.
I didn't say that to him, but I'm thinking he was overprotective, over safety. Yeah. We did have a pier there you could go out on. Obviously, he made us wear the life jackets on the pier to fish.
I'm just going to say right. I'm sympathetic towards that.
Yeah.
I probably wouldn't, not on the shore, but right. I am sympathetic towards that.
Right. Being overcautious.
Yeah.
To the extreme.
You know, if it's just my wife, we're taking our chances. But the grandkids?
Roll the dice walking out on the pier.
You're taking your life into your hands, kid.
Okay. But it kind of like took the fun out of fishing. You know what I'm saying? When you got to have a life jacket on and you're trying to throw out your.
Yeah. Anyway. That's probably going too far.
He was a great granddad. Yeah. But I'm just saying. All right. So, Chris.
Yes.
Other than the submersible, what's the top story today?
Many people are still weighing in on many people, yes. Like numerous people.
Okay. Well, I counted them this morning. They're many.
Yeah, they're many. I'm sorry, Chris.
Numerous people are still responding to the Hunter Biden plea agreement yesterday, to which Hunter fessed up to things involving taxes and bibbing on a gun background check and getting no jail time as a in relation to him saying, "Okay, I did it. I'm sorry." And many people are saying today that the reason Hunter Biden got away scot-free from all this is because of his last name. One example of someone saying as much is former acting Attorney General Matt Whitaker. He was on Fox and Friends today talking with Ainsley Earhart about the fact that Hunter benefited because he is a Biden. Clip two.
Is it because of his last name?
I think it has to be. I was 5.5 years as a U.S. attorney, and we put people in jail for this crime. And, the ATF has a zero tolerance policy. The DOJ and Joe Biden have been trying to reduce gun violence by cracking down on felons in possession, by drug dealers in possession, and even, form mistakes by FFLs, which are the firearm licensed firearms dealers. And so, as I look at this case, we now appears have a royal family. Where, the king and the children of the king and the princess can do whatever they want, while the rest of America, including poor black children, can't commit these types of crimes and avoid prison. It's an exceptional deal.
Oh, they can, too, with Soros.
That's true.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Nobody's getting in black, white, or otherwise, unless you're a Marine.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
In New York, and you try to
save people
from being hurt.
Yeah, on the subway.
Then you get charged. But
I think, who was that was making that comment?
Former acting Attorney General Matt Whitaker.
That is clear. Clearly what's happening here, that Hunter Biden has gotten a quote-unquote sweetheart deal, and the hypocrisy is only magnified by the fact, as he points out, that the Biden administration and everyone on the left is constantly howling for stricter gun control measures and punishing people who break those gun laws. And the first time that chicken comes home to roost for the Biden family, Hunter Biden gets a plea bargain.
What happened there in that case, he had, there was the tax evasion case, and was this joined with the, it was two separate?
It was part of like the same investigation.
So he was a drug addict, and he would, he had it on his record. And drug users are not supposed to have guns, according to the law. I don't know if that was a state law or federal law. But anyway, Hunter Biden tried to get rid of, he had a gun in it while he was a drug addict, tried to get rid of it. And in other words, he violated the law with respect to gun laws and drug addicts. Have I got that right?
I think so.
Yeah.
And so that's what he, that's what you're referring to. He got off the hook on that one, if he ever was on the hook. And also on the tax evasion, by just a plea deal with no, maybe he has to pay a fine or something. Does he even have to pick up trash on the side of the road?
I think they've been, they were downgraded to misdemeanors.
Yeah.
I mean, so the guy doesn't even get felonies on his
record. Not even community service.
And as the AP pointed out yesterday, this ends the years-long investigation by the Department of, Hunter.
That's right. Anybody else have anything to say about this?
Yeah, we've got a ton of sound here.
We don't need a ton.
Oh, we're going to get all 19 in, Brent.
Give us a couple pounds.
All right, we've got Senator Ted Cruz, who he is himself an attorney by profession. Clip one.
This does not happen if Hunter's last name is anything other than Biden. If he's Hunter Smith, he's doing hard time. It is only because Daddy is president that he gets this sweetheart deal with no jail time whatsoever.
Someone else that's talked about this today is former FBI agent Jonathan Gilliam. He had this to say about the Bureau and Hunter. Clip five.
I've actually had a source when I was in the FBI that was remanded back to jail for the exact same gun charge Hunter Biden somehow gets nothing for, escapes complete any type of charge whatsoever. I think what we're seeing here is that the FBI, and we see it in these documents that they're withholding from Comer and playing dumb about, is that the FBI, the people involved in this case, they are protecting Hunter Biden. And I think the fact that so much of the information coming out of those documents was redacted gives you proof that there's information in there that is very crucial.
Now, he mentioned Comer there. That's House Oversight Committee Chairman James Comer, who is heading up the investigation of what they're calling the Biden family's influence peddling scheme, to which Hunter supposedly made millions of dollars for Joe and other members of the Biden family. And Comer is out there still saying that FBI is not turning over documents regarding their investigation.
You know, I think part of the reason why Hunter Biden was given this sweetheart deal is they just don't want any information getting out into the public sphere, which would happen if you have a court case, all right? Because prosecutors would present evidence and, you know, that's when you find out that there's a link to Hunter Biden and this and that. And I just think they just wanted to shut it down. And so it's not, it is that there's kind of like a royal family and a different set of laws for the Biden family than for everyone else. There is that protection of the Biden name, but I think it goes to the probability that other charges would have to be filed if further information came out about the influence peddling, which that could happen in a court case even involving non-payment of taxes,
okay,
gun possession.
You've used up your 2 pounds.
Okay.
Chris, let's move on to another story.
Yeah, well, this one sounds like a Babylon Bee headline, but it's an actual story. A professor in San Antonio, Texas, teaches at St. Philip's College in San Antonio, a biology professor.
Not a football powerhouse.
Not a football powerhouse, no. But he's a biology professor, and he says that he was fired for teaching biology, of all things. He was up there teaching students about things like X and Y and chromosomes and what makes a male, and a female, and the school let him go over this. So he has lawyered up with First Liberty Institute, which is based in Texas. And I've got audio from his attorney here explaining what went down. Clip 11.
He taught over 1,500 students, never had any issues or complaints, received great performance reviews every year. And one day this past fall in November, a handful of students walked out of his class when he taught that sex is defined by the chromosomes X and Y. They found that offensive and walked out. And within about 6 weeks, he received a letter from his school saying that they had filed a complaint against him, that there was an investigation going on, even though they never spoke to him about it. And then before he knew it, he had been fired.
Now, this is going to continue for a few days because First Liberty has written the school a letter saying you need to reinstate him and remove all this from the record or we're going to sue you.
Yeah, I'd sue him for millions of dollars, and I think he's got a good chance to win.
Is this a state school?
It's a public school.
Mm-hmm. Listen, if it's a state, if it's a private school, and what I'm guessing is a, you know, fire at will state, mm-hmm. Texas, maybe you have a more difficult row to hoe. Okay, but a state school, this is a First Amendment issue, especially since he's, according to that clip you just played, this is a well-respected teacher. He's taught for a long time. Mm-hmm. I don't think you're going to be able to squelch his First Amendment.
He's a biology teacher?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and he's being fired because he was teaching, this is
what he's paid to teach.
The chromosomes and the difference between male and female, mm-hmm. that's what he's being fired for? Mm-hmm. That's what, you know, and what? I would argue he has nowhere to go because had he taught the opposite, he should be fired.
Right.
Huh? Because if he's teaching science that isn't science, that is that males and females, there's no difference, or you can't know the chromosomal difference between mm. chromosomal. Is that a word?
It is now.
I like it.
Well.
Chromosomal?
You know, I've lived 60 years. That's the first time I've let that word out of my mouth, chromosomal. Anyway, the point is that he would have been fired for that. Because they would have said, what are you doing? You're a biology teacher. You don't even know the difference between a male and a female. So this is the greater point here, though, is that this kind of thing is infecting colleges and universities all over America. We've talked about that. I'm talking about the woke agenda in all its forms and the far left cultural Marxism that we see out there is impacting schools and universities and professional organizations within the schools. Mm-hmm. So there's a couple things here. First of all, if this First Liberty is able to sue and win, you get a couple of court cases out there mm-hmm. where you make millions of dollars off the schools doing this to a professor, for example.
Right.
Things will turn around. They'll slow down. They'll slow down if not stop. But the other thing is, you can't trust. If you're going to send your kid off to a school, I'm talking about of higher education, you better check it out thoroughly.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because even school Belmont University in Nashville, mm-hmm. which is a Christian school, they just said no to the Promise Keepers for having an event on their campus because they believe in traditional marriage.
Wow.
Of all campuses.
Now, I don't think Belmont is affiliated with a particular denomination, but if you read about it, they say they're a Christian school, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
Well, what they're doing, they're saying, but we believe in, we don't believe you should teach that marriage should only be between a man and a woman, as Promise Keepers does.
Yeah.
Did you see this story?
I'll share the link.
Yeah, we'll be back momentarily with more of today's issues. Stay with us.
This is today's issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of today's issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of today's issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to today's issues on the American Family Radio Network. That's the name of this program. We thank you for listening. Should you want to send us an email, you're free to do that. We appreciate it if it's positive and encouraging. All right. We like K-Love emails here at American Family Radio. K-Love is a sister radio network across the country that plays Christian music, and they say positive and encouraging, and that's what we like too.
When it comes to
emails.
Emails.
Yes.
That's right.
If you want to send us constructive criticism, here's Ed's email.
Hey, listen, I can take it.
Comments@AFR.net is our email address.
Any of you who want to send constructive criticism of Tim, go ahead and send it right to my email address. I'll read them and pass them along.
I would just say unto our listeners.
Unto.
When I was a younger lad, those things bothered me.
Yes.
But
nuts anymore.
I'm seared. I'm hardened to criticism. Usually if people don't like you after a while, they just stop listening to you. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's because they don't want to get mad
all
the time at somebody. All right. So comments@AFR.net. Also on our Israel trip coming up in March, we're 2/3 full. And filling up fast. And so I'm guessing we're going to be sold out probably by the middle of July, at least, you know, if not sooner. I don't know. Maybe sooner. So if that's on your bucket list and you want to go in March with us, you want to look at all the details, including the cost, the itinerary, everything's there. FAQs. Go to twholyland.com, twholyland.com, twholyland.com. If you want to go on our March 2024 tour of Israel, we would love to have you.
Yep. I just want to clarify something, because sometimes we talk and the words get going fast.
Yeah.
It sounds like you're saying something you don't mean, but you're not going to, you said if you want to go in March with us, you're not going to March anywhere. You're going in March.
Go in March. Not
you're going
and.
In March. We're not going to go in March.
Oh, now you're double teaming me, Abe?
Sorry. I was like, wait a minute. I shouldn't be talking yet.
Okay. No, we're introducing now Abraham.
You're not going to march in Israel.
Abe Hamilton. How you doing, Brother Abe?
I'm doing very well.
Host of the Hamilton Corner. I'm not going to. What did you just say?
You're not going to go and march in Israel.
No.
You're going in March.
I talked about many people earlier in the show, so, you know.
Many people.
Many people.
Yeah, those many people, I'll tell you. If you're not careful, they sneak up on you.
Yeah.
How do you know we don't march when we get in Israel?
It worked at Jericho.
Onward, Christian soldier.
Yeah. So how many times around the wall then?
We're going to march to the breakfast buffet. That's about the extent of it right there.
Life is good in 2023. We don't have to march around.
We're not going to suffer like the Israelites did.
We're going to march to the breakfast
we're
buffet.
We're not going into battle unless you've got to battle like battle pancakes or something. You know?
So that will fill up.
It will fill up, and we never had a response this quick. And as I've mentioned before, I think it's because Israel was closed for almost 2 years with COVID restrictions. And
no marching allowed.
And so Israel's wide open. There are no shots of any kind required to go to COVID or otherwise.
It would be very ridiculous if it were. A lot of the studies repudiating.
Only in the White House.
From Israel.
Only in Biden's White House. Now you got to, if you don't have a COVID shot, you got to wear a mask and 6 feet apart for sports teams. Did you
come
see
on,
that?
Come on, man. It's a dream.
I'm serious. Did you
come,
see that?
Come on, man.
Come on, what? Man. Come on, man. No.
Yeah. No, I know you're serious.
The end of the pandemic back in
May. You haven't heard this?
Mm-hmm. No.
What, no, no. Two weeks ago, the Biden White House announced, I don't know if was it Karine Jean-Pierre? I don't know. Anyway, she wanted to be clear. Karine Jean-Pierre, because she always wants to be clear.
While she's reading.
As she muddies things up.
Yes.
Anyway, the Biden White House announced that for all the, you know how they invite the sports teams to come?
Yeah.
College and professional. If they win a championship, you're invited to the White House. Mm-hmm. Well, they said sports teams, I think it's just sports teams. You come to the White House, I'm not reliving 2022 here. I'm talking now.
Yeah.
She said, you got to have either if you don't have proof of, quote, COVID vaccination, end of quote, or that you're going to have to wear a mask or stand 6 feet apart from everybody.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, yeah, it's like a time machine there at the White House. Now, all that is, that's just political posturing. For what good reason? There is none. It's just that wanting to relive the glory days of lockdowns.
And subjugation of the American people.
Yes, yes. That's exactly what the Biden, the White House, is about right now. All right, so good morning, Abe.
Good morning.
Abe, we were talking, this wasn't on our list of issues to discuss with you. However, you will be well-versed in this. Colleges and universities around the country now talk about people who are, their kids are getting ready to go off, to, are considering going to school. What should you look for and be on guard for now? Because you can't even trust that names of schools have Christian in them, or they're a Baptist or Methodist or whatever school anymore. I mean, even that doesn't mean that they're not going to have these Marxists on in their college professorship.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if y'all discussed this already, but during the break, Ed and Chris just were talking about Belmont University
in Nashville.
In Nashville, supposedly a Christian school keeping Promise Keepers out for what? You know,
and they answered that. They said it was because Promise Keepers had issued a statement. Mm-hmm. They put out a statement, Promise Keepers did, a week before Pride Week, and they were talking about male and female, only two genders, and marriage between a man and a woman.
Yeah.
So Belmont, 2 days before tickets are supposed to go on sale.
So because Promise Keepers issued a statement affirming what the scripture teaches.
Yes.
There's Christian University.
Yes.
Expands Promise Keepers from their universities.
Yes. And they had a contract with them, and they were 2 days away from.
So they breached their contract.
Yeah.
Yeah. Promise Keepers was going to use the facility there, the Coliseum or whatever they have on campus there at Belmont in Nashville for their event. This is what happens. It was all about the LGBTQ.
Yes.
And Promise Keepers believes in the biblical definition of marriage and family. And then this 2 days before they're supposed to sell tickets, Belmont University says, no, we embrace LGBTQ.
Yeah, basically. And
yeah. Here's the thing. If you are a graduate of Belmont University, you need to read up on this story.
And then contact them.
Yeah, and then contact them, especially, I don't know if they have a board of regents or what they call a board of directors, because this is and they say they're a Christian university, and this is the position they hold. What does it say?
Well, Belmont, now there
where,
are.
Where are you reading
this
from?
This is posted on our Facebook page.
Okay.
This is a CBN story, Christian Broadcasting Network story that I'm reading from. Now, Belmont University is saying, Promise Keepers is stretching the truth. So here's what they said explains their position. In other words,
who are you
Belmont,
quoting here?
Belmont. This is what Belmont says. This article says, Belmont informed Promise Keepers leadership that the event could not be held on our campus. This is them saying it. Because a blog the organization posted, which was critical of Pride Month, includes comments that we believe unnecessarily fan the flames of culture wars and are harmful to members of our community.
Did they identify what those comments were?
No.
In their statement?
They did not. So their attempt to explain what they did makes it worse.
Makes it worse. So because Promise Keepers had the audacity to articulate something, and I'll tell you, I did this on my program. I said, God, I'm not talking about somebody's opinion. God says he's opposed to the proud. That's what he says. Mm-hmm. So I am not going to be found, you know, using verbiage, celebrating things that God says, one, he opposes, not least of which includes sexual rebellion. I mean, there's a whole panoply of scriptures we can discuss on this. And so a Christian university said, well, we don't want you hosting your event here because you said we don't want you here because of what you believe about marriage. No, that's not it. You're stretching the truth. But we don't want you hosting your event here because of what you said about marriage and sexuality and we don't support it. It's just doubling down. So to your point, what should parents look for? We need to ask these questions. Just because a university or college says it's a Christian school doesn't mean that it's going to adhere to biblical orthodoxy. Right. So you may have to bring your Bible
right.
on your parental visit and say, what do you guys believe about this?
Yes. Yeah, if you're considering a so-called or a named Christian school.
A Christian school. If you're considering a non-Christian school, may the Lord be
You better be a spiritual warrior if you're going to go into the lion's den.
I mean, I can't tell you the number of parents I have personally conversed with that said, I don't know what happened to my child.
I lost my child.
They went to university. Mm-hmm. They went to college. And they came home as right. someone I did not know or recognize.
Right.
Yeah, you.
It's come to that. Now
it has come to that.
10 years ago, I was of the opinion, your kids should, be prepared to go in and be a witness. But I just think the pressure is too great. The pressure is too great for a lot of these kids.
It is a case by case in the sense True. That you. Sometimes you need to go to a particular school because of your profession and it's you don't have many choices.
Right.
Okay. But are you want to go to the best lawyer school or engineering school or medical school? But I'm just saying you need to be, especially parents, you're going to just send your kid off to school or college, university. You better know. Be prepared for what we're talking about
and
today.
What is your child prepared for? That's what needs to be known, because it's not as if we need to be afraid of the world, because the world has a lot of these same influences.
Yeah,
things.
Yeah, that's true.
But if we send our children unprepared, they will be swallowed. I mean, we have an entire book of Colossians where the Apostle Paul is warning believers. I'm writing to believers, Colossians chapter 2. I'm writing so no man would take you captive. Captive
right.
by what? By hollow and deceptive philosophy, verse 8 says in chapter 2. That's based upon human tradition and the elemental principles of this world rather than upon Christ. Yeah. This is something all believers can be consumed by mm-hmm. if we are not prepared.
Yeah.
But it is particularly important that if we have our young, impressionable children, if they are not equipped for this, understand what you're risking. You're not merely risking Junior Johnny may not get a degree. You're risking that they may apostatize mm-hmm. if they're prepared in a Christian environment.
I remember just a few years ago, we had some friends at a church where we were at church, Bible believing church, strong on the scripture. Anyway, they had a son who was like a leader in the youth group, solid as a rock. Went off to a university, after he graduated. And like within a year, he comes home spouting these socialistic ideas that he had learned, in classes and on the campus.
Right.
It wasn't heretical, but he was talking about, socialism and it's a good thing and
right.
all these things. And his parents are going, whoa, hold on just a minute.
Yeah.
Huh? This is what, what? What are you talking about here now? You just got to be on guard. You got to be careful. You need to do your homework and your research before you just send your kid or grandkid off to a place of, especially if they're going from home.
Yeah.
If they're going from home.
As you're talking, I literally just got a text message from a friend who was a brother in Christ. Their daughter literally just finished having Christian classical education. They were going on a college search looking specifically for a Christian university. And my friend said, Abe, I hate to tell you, because he's listening right now out of the Memphis area. He said, I hate to tell you, but I just went through a long Christian college search, and there are almost zero Christian colleges that are standing up against the popular woke agenda today. So it's biblical orthodoxy concerning sexuality, but it's also the full panoply. I know personally another friend, not the same brother in Memphis, whose daughter went to a Christian school. She came home telling her parents how racist they were. From a Christian school.
It's a war. We've been saying that for 45 years here.
I want to know when the history books are written, how the socialist, the Marxist, the communist, got a hold of all these institutions of higher learning and the professional organizations within them, because
you said you wonder how they did it.
Yeah, I wonder
Abe knows
well how they did it, because We've all the colleges and university and the professors have always had a reputation for being, you know, hippies and liberals, and there's nothing wrong with being a traditional liberal necessarily. In other words, somebody
classical liberal.
Classical liberal. You can have a conversation with these folks.
Yeah.
But now these ideologies and these people that are in, they've gained complete control of the from the cafeteria manager to the president of the school. Hey,
talk about the long march to the institutions.
Yeah, so this is going to make some people uncomfortable when you learn this. And even your description of the reputation of professors and all the professories having hippies probably dates back to like the 50s.
Right, especially during the Vietnam era, the 60s.
This was a part of an intentional, malevolent plan, unfortunately. Specifically to utilize education. Regressives who are progressives, Ed has done extensive research in the progressive movement, they stood back and looked at the levers of power and influence in America and recognized what academia presented to the nation.
When did this start?
In the 1800s. And I can give you quotes.
Okay.
The origins of the progressive movement were 1880 to 1920, thereabouts. That was the formation of it in this country. Mm-hmm.
And so there was an intentional effort. The goal ultimately was to control it all. One of the major mechanisms were that we need to control those who enter and those who will be forced to exit the teaching profession. So you had a part of this diabolical scheme. You have compulsory education laws. You have people like John Dewey traversing the country saying that the stated objective is we want to increase education in our nation, when their objective all the way back then was control. Now, they recognized, just like many now, like the advocates for sexual deviancy, there's a book called After the Ball. The objective of the book was to cause, and this is from a psychiatrist and psychologist, to cause America to embrace homosexuality, specifically about the same-sex marriage. And they intentionally said, let's hide the T from the LGB, because if the American people see the T's right now, it'll be horrible. It will end our objective. Now, the T's are a part of our alliance, but we want to hide them.
Talking about the transgender.
The transgenders. We also need to make sure the American people are completely ignorant to homosexual practice.
Yes.
We want you to see people, personalities, appearances, nothing about what we actually do.
We want you to see will and grace.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not what happens in bathhouses in San Francisco.
Because if that is exposed, it'll be over. The same thing, a similar strategy occurred in education. Tell the people we want reading, writing, and arithmetic when our objective has nothing to do with reading, writing, and arithmetic. And I'll give you a couple quotes. here's one. Dr. Chester Pierce, in 1972, at an international educational meeting, this is Association for Childhood Education, happened in April of 1972, he said this: every child in America entering school at the age of 5 is mentally ill because he comes to school with certain allegiances to our founding fathers, toward elected officials, toward his parents, toward a belief in a supernatural being, and toward the sovereignty of this nation as a separate entity. It is up to you as teachers to make all of these sick children well by creating the international child of the future. This is in the 70s.
Okay, you know what he just said? I'll put it in a nutshell. He said, these people who promote God and country, we need to get rid of them. Those values, patriotism, that's what he's saying. All those things, we need to deprogram children from that. Now, it takes a long time still. You mentioned that back to the 1800s. It's taken a long time, though, to gain complete control, as they almost have now. I'm talking about the people that believe like that fellow right there. Who was that guy again?
That was Chester Pierce, former dean of education at Harvard University.
At Harvard. Okay. And they took over the Ivy League schools first.
It was a faith-based school in its beginning.
Yeah,
Harvard was.
Yes.
But that all has to – what happened was then that ideology he's just expressing began to spread across America. And colleges and universities began to hire people who only thought like that.
Exclusively.
And they hire their own.
Tenure rules were afforded in the same direction. It started to become ideological purity tests in order to achieve tenure. If you had professors.
Governor DeSantis in Florida says he wants to get rid of tenure. He wants to reduce it to 5 years or something like that. So maybe some other governors. Maybe some other governors will do that.
Well, yeah.
So you got to break the back. of these. But that then trickled down to textbooks.
Absolutely.
Right? So then they began to use textbooks to indoctrinate with, again, cultural Marxism.
The demonic schema was Americans value education. We must control it. That is the only system in the nation where 98% of all American people go through. If we can control that, we can create the America of the future that we want.
And that's what's so sinister about that quote that you had. What was his name? Chester Pierce. Chester Pierce. Is they were, in essence, saying, we can't get a hold of the adults. They already believe what they believe. You're probably not going to change. But we can try. We can, you know, Norman Lear, you know, with his programs, the family. We can try to influence that. But really, the key is getting the children. Homosexual activists said the same thing. They said things like, I remember when Ellen came out of the closet, quote unquote, Ellen DeGeneres, even on her show, they said things like, there's plenty of space in cemeteries. When all the adults, all these bigoted adults die, what we're after are the kids who will replace them. But the same process happened in not only law schools, but seminaries.
The exact rinse and repeat. It's the exact same stratagem applied across the board. And I want you to also note, now this next quote I'm going to give you is from 1930, where they identified their chief opponents as the church. 1930, Charles Francis Potter, who was also, by the way, a signer of the Humanist Manifesto, and he published this in a book titled Humanism, A New Religion. This is from page 128. He said this, quote, education is thus a most powerful ally of humanism. And every American school is a school of humanism. What can theistic Sunday schools meeting for an hour once a week and teaching only a fraction of the children do to stem the tide of the five-day program of humanistic teaching? End quote.
Who don't know
1930.
For those who don't know, humanism is the belief that man is God, right? There is no God, doesn't exist. Man is God.
Which is the theological foundation of atheism, communism, and Marxism.
Yeah. Well, this is, impacting all of our schools and universities, and you just got to beware and be on guard and be prepared.
We need to have Abe. I know you're super busy. We need to have you do a Cultural Institute video on education.
I can do that.
Because this kind of information, I know there are people, I haven't checked our Facebook page here as you've been talking, but I'm sure our listeners are clamoring for more of this kind of
information. And I got one more quote for you. This is the most egregious of all of them, but go ahead. You had a question.
Is there a website that you would advocate or encourage people to visit, a website or a ministry that sort of rates schools, or you can find out what schools do still promote
a good question.
Pro-American, pro-capitalism, pro-God and country approach to education?
The same friend I mentioned
besides
before,
Hillsdale?
Yes.
Hillsdale's wonderful, but everybody can't go to Michigan
right.
to pay that kind of money.
Yeah, there is a website. My friend just texted me, the same one I mentioned from the Memphis area. It says criticalrace.org that tries to keep up with all that's going on with schools, particularly at the university level. But there's not one that I'm aware of that does colleges, universities, primary schools, and all these kind of things. There are separate ones that do some of those.
Okay.
But because a lot of this is just newly being presented to a lot of people, it's like, wait a minute, they're trying to catch up because we're a bit behind the curve on that.
What's that quote that you wanted
this
to
This last
read?
One is the most egregious. This is from John J. Dunphy, and this was written in an essay published in the Humanist magazine. This was published in 1983. John J. Dunphy said this, quote, I am convinced that the battle for humankind's future must be waged and won in the public classroom by teachers who correctly perceive their role as the proselytizers of a new faith, a religion of humanity that recognizes and respects the spark of what theologians call divinity in every human being. These teachers must embody the same selfless dedication as the most rabid fundamentalist preachers, for they will be ministers of another sort, utilizing a classroom instead of a pulpit to convey humanist values in whatever subject they teach. Regardless of the educational level, preschool, daycare, or large state university, the classroom must and will become an arena of conflict between the old and the new, the rotting corpse of Christianity, together with all its adjacent evils and misery, and the new faith of humanism, resplendent with its promise of a world in which the never-realized Christian ideal of love thy neighbor will finally be achieved. People are asking, how could you say that English is racist? Math is racist. Science is racist. Because this is the embodiment of the ideology that Dunphy, Pierce, Horace Mann, John Dewey,
right,
and many others, Charles Francis Potter, have been articulating for well over 100 years. And we've arrived at the culmination of it in our generation.
Well, there is a, you know, this is part and parcel of the greater spiritual war for our country's survival.
Yes.
You know, bigger than that would be Western civilization. But in particular, if these Marxist God haters, what I call them, can bring down America,
they bring down Western civilization mm-hmm. with it.
We'll be back momentarily. Thank you, Abe.
Thank you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.